Good morning, everybody. It is a privilege for me to speak this morning, as I was asked to do so, about the suffering Messiah. We will consider fulfilled prophecies, which are a seal of God on the Bible. By his coming 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament concerning Messiah, which means the promised Savior in the Old Testament for Israel and for all the peoples of the world. There are people who would say, these are not fulfilled prophecies. Maybe these messianic prophecies had been written after the coming of Jesus Christ. But such an argument that was used in the past by skepticals is absolutely no more valid, since we have the Qumran manuscripts that have been found in 11 caves near the Dead Sea, and there are nearly all Bible books from the Old Testament represented, except the book of Esther, by the way. And we have now manuscripts from the 3rd century before Christ, 2nd, 1st, and the latest are up to 68. So, by this manuscript, it's possible to prove that the Old Testament was completed long before the time of Christ's birth. And in addition, I have to say that there was found the complete Isaiah scroll in cave number 1, which is dated now to 125 BC. And all the messianic prophecies that are especially to be found in the book of Isaiah are present in this scroll. So, messianic prophecies speaking about a coming Savior called the Messiah. But there are two different descriptions of Messiah. Many passages speak about a suffering Messiah who would come and die as a sacrifice for our sins. The righteous one for us, the unrighteous ones, in order to bring us to God. So for example, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, passages, by the way, that had been applied by the early rabbis to Messiah. This is not a Christian interpretation, but this is already an interpretation in Judaism. So, many passages speak about the suffering Messiah, but many other passages about the triumphant Messiah, like Isaiah 11 and Psalm 72, and many other passages. A triumphant Messiah who would come one day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in order to bring in justice, divine justice into this world. Now, how to bring these two descriptions together? In Judaism, there was the idea that this should be two different Messiahs. The suffering Messiah was called Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, son of Joseph. And the triumphing Messiah was called Mashiach ben David, Messiah, son of David, who, like King David, would be a ruler. And Mashiach ben Yosef, like Joseph, would be a rejected one by his brethren, a suffering one. But it's interesting that the Lord Jesus was known as the son of Joseph, because Joseph get married to Mary. And although he was not the biological father, he was the legal father. And by that, the Lord Jesus was known as son of Joseph. And we really read in John 1, how people said, Matzano et HaMashiach, we have found the Messiah. Ben Yosef, the son of Joseph. You find this expression in John 1. But, of course, we know by the genealogy of Mary, which is to be found in at the end of Luke 3, that she was a descendant of King David, not through the royal line like Joseph was, but through a sideline of a certain Nathan. And so the Lord Jesus was Ben David. And so he was in one person, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. And by the way, Joseph suffered, of course, being rejected by his brethren, but later on he became the great ruler on the Gentiles and eventually even over his brethren, the forefathers of Israel. So he was first the suffering and then the ruling one. And what about David? He was not always king. A long time he was the rejected one, and even the Israeli army persecuted him under King Saul. He was the rejected one, but only later on became the king. And so, these two messianic aspects are just hinting to two different comings of the same Messiah. The first time he should come as a suffering Messiah in order to resolve the problem, the fundamental problem of sin. And the prophet said, when Messiah will be rejected by the mass of his brethren, then the Jewish people will lose the land of promise and be scattered among all the nations. But on the other hand, the prophet said, just in the time before the triumphing Messiah would come, the Jewish people will be gathered in, gathered to the land of the forefathers, and then the triumphing Messiah would come, which is just the same person. But there are two different comings. And from the text of the Old Testament you can prove that first the Messiah should come as the suffering Messiah and then as the triumphing Messiah. And so the exact time of the coming of the suffering Messiah was foretold in Daniel 9. We know Daniel was one of those Jews who had to go to Babylon into the captivity. At that time, Jerusalem and Solomon's temple, the first temple, had been destroyed by the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar. And this time, when Jerusalem was just a leap of stones, Daniel got this prophecy, Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So it was possible to calculate the times of Messiah. The beginning point is from the going forth of a commandment that Jerusalem, that had been destroyed, should again be rebuilt. And then you can calculate the time up to the coming of Messiah as the Prince. In between, there should be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The Hebrew word week, Shavua, is connected to the word seven, Sheva. So Shavua means a unit of seven. And in the Bible it is used for weeks of days, so a normal week of 7 days, but also for weeks of years, which is a period of 7 years. And you know maybe that biblical agriculture was according to a time schedule of always 7 years, because every seventh year Israel was not allowed to bring seeds on the fields. It should be a sabbatical year.